know that. Say amen. Well, amen. Let's get our Bibles open this morning. Let's open our Bibles back in the Old Testament. I need everybody to sit down, be still. Do not walk out. Stay right with me this morning. Listen to what I got to say. The book of 2 Chronicles. The book of 2 Chronicles. Everyone open there, please, this morning. I'm going to look at some scripture here today. If you're visiting with us this morning, I usually don't do exactly how I'm going to do this morning. I usually have a title and an outline that somewhat sticks with you with some points and things like that. Today I don't have that. But I definitely have some things on my heart. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 12. I need you to listen to me this morning because I'm going to sort of unload on you a little bit this morning. I have a very, very, very heavy heart. And a pastor gets like this once in a while. I need you to be still. Please don't go out. Put them babies in them nursery and get back in here and everybody listen to this message and get everybody still. 2 Chronicles 7:12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. He's heard mine. And have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, that means gas goes up, taxes go up, can't pay your bills, economy goes bad, that's what that means. Verse 14, if my people, not Washington, not Khomeini, not Allah Ta'ala, somebody over yonder, if my people, which are called by my name, that's us, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If I had a title, I guess it'd be, We Need a Camp Meeting. When we value a dollar more than we value a soul, we need an old-fashioned camp meeting. When we love a ball game more than we love a revival, we need a camp meeting, folks. When we're always feeding our body and never feeding our soul, we need a camp meeting. When we'd rather hear the song of fools than the songs of Zion at church, we need God to do something for us in our camp meeting. When we can get along with people out there in the world and come to church and fight with each other, we need a camp meeting. When we respect the boss at work but disrespect the pastor or anybody in authority at church, tell them to leave you alone, tell them to hush, talk disrespectful, we need an old-fashioned camp meeting. When you can close your eyes and can't tell if you're driving by a pool hall or a church for the music coming out of it, somebody needs to make some changes. When our stadiums are full and the churches are empty, we need a camp meeting. When you can get 15 men to show up and play softball and not three to go out and visit and knock on doors, we need a camp meeting. When old-fashioned shouting and singing is made fun of by Christian people, we definitely need an old-fashioned camp meeting. When new dead intellectual reasoning replaces Holy Ghost preaching and a preacher just gets up and talks and raps and relates to everybody and makes everybody feel good, we need a camp meeting. When young people can sit in the back and play with their cell phone the whole service and never feel no kind of conviction or guilt, we need a camp meeting. When a ball game lasts 3 hours and you won't miss a minute of it, and church lasts 45 minutes and you're complaining, we need God to do something for us. What do you think we're going to do in heaven, people? Watch football? while we're feasting but won't fast. While we're playing and not praying. We need a camp meeting. When we're changing the Bible instead of preaching the Bible, we need a camp meeting. When you can pay $100 to get in Disney World and gripe because we ask you to give a $20 offering in church, we need a camp meeting. If you can play bingo three nights a week but can't come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night, we need a camp meeting. When guns are in our schools and Bibles are not, we need a camp meeting. When sinners are praised and preachers are mocked, we need a camp meeting. When our young people swallow evolution and mock the Bible and reject it, we need a camp meeting. When Christians have worldly songs on their ringtones instead of something that glorifies God, we need a camp meeting. When God's people have partially nude pictures of themselves on Facebook, provocative, and a Christian, and they're Christians, we need God to do something for us. When Sunday school teachers won't even come out and help us visit and worry while their class is down, we need a camp meeting. When people can shack up during the week and come and sit in church and feel no kind of guilt, but it's something bad, bad, bad wrong, we need a camp meeting. When Christians are ashamed to put a bumper sticker on their car that God gave them, and God, that Son died for them on the cross, but they're ashamed to have His name on the car. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. But it'll put an advertisement for a worldly business or commodity. When you can afford to buy clothes, shoes, guns, fishing poles, rods and reels, four-wheelers, cars, but we can't even give a special offering for a big meeting, we need a camp meeting. When you miss the Sunday night of camp meeting because you, quote, had enough church for 1 week, we need a camp meeting. We're in a search and rescue mission. I see on TV these little kids that disappear. And these little kids that disappear, they'll have a Jessica alert or Amber alert or whatever them things are. And when one of them kids disappears down in Florida, they'll have hundreds of people come out and they'll make a big line across a field and they'll go and tromp down the grass and look and comb the community looking for that lost child. And yet we have kids that need to come on the bus, and it's hard to get people to even go and knock on their door. How is it that the world can have more of a burden for a lost child than a church can for a kid that'll burn in hell if they don't get saved? Get down just one hair, brother. It's because we don't really believe they'll burn in hell if they don't get saved. Hell is foreign to our doctrine and our belief anymore. Listen, brother, we're living in a time, about our church attendance. I never let my kids stay out of church. I don't want my kids to miss church. The service they miss, even during the camp meeting. And I'm just going to talk to y'all this morning. And some of y'all are going to get mad at me because you're going to sit there and you're going to say, he's talking to me because he knows I do that or I don't do that. That's the devil telling you that. I do know people that do and don't do what I'm going to talk about. But I'm not talking to anybody in here. I'm man enough, and I've got a problem with you, I can sit down face to face and tell you. I'm not one of these preachers that gets up and takes pot shots at people. Anybody that knows me knows that. But I will say this, if the shoe fits, then wear it. Amen? And don't sit there and accuse me. Don't get mad at me for preaching something that you do wrong. That's like a woman getting mad and smashing her mirror because it shows her the wrinkles in her face. Yeah. It ain't my fault.
That's right.
I mean, if you don't tithe, if you don't give, if you don't wit, it is not my fault. It's yours. So you sit there and take it like a man, and you sit there and take it like a woman, like a Christian, and if I'm wrong, ignore me. If I'm right, do something about it. Because I'm going to tell you what's on my heart this morning. And I'm going to tell you, listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's so easy to look down our nose and judge other people. Well, I don't do this and I don't do that. And you sit there and not do nothing for God. And I'm going to tell you this morning, we're letting the world go to hell while we're so holy. And we dress right, we act right, we don't drink, we don't cuss, we don't smoke, we don't chew, we don't do nothing. But yet we don't do anything for the Lord. You know what got me started thinking about this? I was talking to a friend. I was praying about the camp meeting. There is a man in another state that does not live in North Carolina told me last night he has not eaten this past week for our camp meeting. He has not eaten this week for our camp meeting. When he told me that, a dart went in my heart and I said, Dear God, we got people in another state driving 14 hours to get here, spending thousands of dollars to make it, and some of you won't even come. Won't even come. I'm going to tell you, if you got kids, the service they met. I know people right now, Jason's sitting right back there this morning, he's one. I have a cousin, Sam Blaney. Some of y'all know Sam. Roy and them, y'all know him good. They go to his church a lot. Sam's preaching this morning. Right now while I'm preaching, he's preaching. He preaches all over the country. He preaches revivals. He's on the radio. He has a nation, maybe worldwide ministry. Sam's a great preacher. And you know what? Sam was an average teenager, 16 years old. All he wanted to do was play ball and go fishing, living in sin. And it took him to church and one night changed his life. One night, one service turned him around, and he's preaching right now. I'm glad he was in that service. I'm glad he didn't decide, well, just one service won't hurt. I'm glad he didn't think like some of you people, it don't really matter if I'm there or if I'm not there. I'm telling you, this work is supernatural. It might be the service that God... Listen, let's go down the road 20 years. Let's go down the road when some of your kids is in jail and some of your kids are on crystal meth and you're crying and you're laying on the altar saying, God, do something. God, I hope that don't happen. But it has, and it probably will again. But let's roll back the clock and say, maybe if they'd have been in that one service, maybe God might have done something for them. That one service changed my life. One service turned me around and sent me the other way. I'm telling you, when that man told me he hadn't eaten a bite this week, I said, Dear God, I'm going to fast. I fast all the time anyway, but I'm going to fast more. I'm going to ask everybody in here, let's all fast Wednesday. Let's all fast this Wednesday. It ain't going to kill you. It would help you physically, mentally, spiritually. You say, well, I can't fast. That's a lie. You won't fast. Let's do without. Let's push the plate back. Just one service. It might help your marriage. It might help your attitude toward your wife. It might help your love toward your husband. It might turn your kid toward God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for God's people to get right with God. You say, well, I want to go to one of them little churches where the preacher don't fuss out. There's plenty of them. Help yourself. Yeah, come on now. Well, you'll stand before God one day and the Lord will be a whole lot harder on you than I'm being this morning. He'll be a lot harder on you than I'm being. It's a disgrace to God. As a car pulled up my yard that day, first time this has happened in 20 years. And I knew when they pulled up, it was Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons one. The girls got out. Had on dresses down to there. Nice hairdo. They stood up. Two girls came out and started talking to us. And I knew they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And I witnessed to them and talked to them about the Lord. And they got in the car and my mind just says, God, how in the... They don't even believe there's a hell. They don't even believe there is a hell. They're out there burning their gas, knocking on every... They went all the way up Hoppy Tom. I saw them. They went to every single house. What, y'all believe there's a hell? You say you do. You say we believe there's a hell and won't even go and help a bus route. Not even one Saturday. Won't even go to our neighbor. We're just a bunch of hypocrites when it comes to that. It's going to get worse, so just hold your seatbelt. I may not have a job when I get done this morning, but I'll have nothing but a night. Amen? A little bit ridiculous when people are... It just irks me that we claim to be Christians. Can I just talk honestly for a minute? I'm not talking about anybody in here, because there's been at least four ladies in here told me this, and there's probably 20. The people at work know you live for the Lord. The people at work even know you're saved. I hear these ladies all the time say, "Oh, these men, this guy flirted with me at work. This guy flirted with me at work. Oh, these guys, they just flirt with me all the time. They just won't leave me alone." I tell you, I get them to leave you alone. Put a picture of your husband and you on your desk. Put a Bible verse over here. Take your Bible in. You ain't ashamed of it, are you? Dress decent. And don't smile and say, "Oh, hush. Leave me alone. Hush. You little..." I better not say that. The truth is, you like it, don't you? The truth is, you like getting hit on like that. Say, "Oh, these men won't leave me alone." Usually a girl that says that has no relationship with her daddy, 9 times out of 10. And she's starving for attention. Because every time you get around, "These men won't leave me alone. This man flirted with me. This man flirted with me. This man flirted with me. This man flirted with me." Now listen, if you're a pretty lady, men are going to flirt. You ain't going to stop that. But I tell you one thing, you don't have to... Listen, you get... Here's what you do. Say, he says, "Boy, you look pretty today." You say, "Thank you. My husband likes this dress on me too." You go to church anywhere?
That's right.
They'll leave you alone. You know why they won't leave you alone? Because you don't want them to. You little hussy. Listen, I'm telling you something. Listen, I'm a man. I know when a woman's flirty. Lord, it's getting quiet in here. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, we're living in a wicked time. We're living in a time, it don't matter if you got on a ring. That means nothing. That don't stop nothing. Put that picture of you and that husband on that. Hey, if you ain't got a husband, put your daddy on there. Amen. Put something on there and say, "That's what my boyfriend said. That's what my husband said. That's what my daddy said." Listen, that's what you do. You tell him to go. I like Carrie. I'll use Carrie for an example. Carrie, I raised Carrie. You know that. And I told her what's right. She knows what's right. We was over at McDonald's one night. And we was having a birthday party, and we go there, and there's an old guy sitting over there, and he looked at her and he said, "Wow, who's the pretty thing here?" At her. And she just turned around and looked like, she said, "Daddy, who's that weirdo?" Yeah. That's the right response.
Amen.
You ain't supposed to go call your friend and say, "Guess what? This man told me I was pretty, and it made me feel good." You're starving for attention because you ain't got no daddy. I didn't learn this yesterday. You ain't got no relationship with your daddy. You're starving for attention with men. And before we got out of there, there was another man started following her around. Carrie! As old as she is! No, I'm just kidding you. No, she's a beautiful woman. I had a man tell me the other day. A man tell me in South Carolina. He said, "Carrie is the prettiest woman I've ever seen in my life." That's what he said. I'll give you his name after church. Now, listen. Trust me, you won't like him. But you know what? She said, "Daddy, who is that guy's perverted?" Now, some of you wouldn't have done that. You'd have went, "Thank you." You know why? You're sick. You need psychiatric help. If a total stranger... Listen, men are wicked. Men see the halfway person. Do you honestly think they care about you? You need professional psychology help. Not to mention getting your heart right with God.
Amen.
You say, "Well, Brother Danny, you don't know what..." Don't tell me I don't know what it's like. I'm an old man. I get it all the time. You say, "What do you do?" I witness to them. I was driving down the road the other day. A Jeep pulled up beside me. I had windows open. So come down. So I've been traveling a lot. This Jeep pulled up. Guy and girl in the front. Young girl in the back, and they pulled up and they started waving. I waved like this. They started waving. And then they started and said, "She's single. She's single. Pull over." You said you pull over? No, I didn't pull over. You know why? Because I ain't stupid. Do you honestly think that's something great? Are you that starved for attention? Last week, I was in the store. I was going to meet the preacher and his wife for dinner. I went in the store down in Pageland, South Carolina. I went into a store. I was walking around in there. This girl helped me get something behind the counter back there that they had. I said, "Thank you, ma'am," like that. I walked back to the store. She followed me back here and she said, "You got the prettiest smile of anybody I've ever seen in my life." You know what I said? "Thank you. Can I have your phone number?" You want me to tell you what I said? I said, "You go to church anywhere?" That's what I said. Before God, that's what I said. I said, "The Lord loves you." She said, Oh, yeah. You know what I do with them other ones? I got bumper stickers on my car, brother. I got bumper stickers. You know what I do when they wave? I had one in Gatlinburg. They're like, "Yes." I pulled in front of them and slowed down so they can see my bumper stickers. Now, you know why you don't do that? Because you're ashamed of Jesus. You won't take a stand. You won't take a clear-cut stand. And listen, we're living in a wicked world. You got to take a clear-cut stand. If women are that wicked, and I get phone calls, I get letters, I tell them every one to jump in the lake, every one of them, and I mean that. God knows. If you don't believe it, I can tell you, give you details after service. I'm telling you this morning, we have got to turn from our wicked way. Just because somebody flirts with me, you or me, don't mean you're Miss America and you fall in love. Bless God, turn around, tell them that Jesus loves them, and witness to them. By the way, don't dress like a hussy and show all your flesh, your chest hanging out, and then say, "Oh, these men won't leave me alone." You don't leave you alone because you don't want them to leave you alone. Cover up your nakedness if you want them to leave you alone. Next time they say something, say, "The Lord loves you. Do you know that? You go to church Sunday?" Shoot them down! Lady said something to me one time. Bad. Really, 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 really bad. I said, "There ain't enough money in this town." That's what I told her. She later got right and went and told her husband what I said. And he called me and said, "Brother Danny," he said, "I got more respect for you now than I've ever had in my life. Thank you for setting my wife straight and putting her in her place. And if any of y'all's wives say anything to me, I'll put her in her place too. I ain't interested in that junk. Not that I'm holy. I'm wickeder than anybody. You cannot play with fire. You'll get burned. You'll get burned." Well, you say, "Well, there's this one guy and he comes in the office and he's always smiling and he's always saying little things." Yep, that's how it starts right there. That's how it starts. "There's this one lady at church and every time I see her," or like that one preacher told me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "my wife walks around the house looking awful. She goes to work, she looks like a movie star." He said, "My wife wears more clothes to bed than she wears to work." That's bad, ain't it? That's bad. Here's what I want us to do. I had two girls class me in Charlotte one day. A surf sitting on the back of a Jeep. And they kept acting like, right in my face. You say, "What'd you do?" I grabbed my Bible and I stuck it out the window at them like that and waved it out. Before God, that's what I did. You think this world ain't wicked? Next time they say something to you, say, "That's the same thing my boyfriend says. He likes my hair too. That's the same thing my wife says. I mean, my husband. He likes it like this too. Oh, I like your dress. Thank you. I wear this for my husband." You know why you won't say that? Because you like to get flirted with. You know why you won't put the bumper sticker on your car? You're afraid somebody will think you're a fanatic. You know why you won't take your Bible and put it in there? I know what's wrong with you. You're ashamed of it. You're ashamed of it. If I had a job where I worked in a factory, I'd take a Bible and lay it on my desk. And if they said anything to me, I'd get me a lawyer and take them to court. He said, I ain't coming back. I know, that's why I'm going to load your wagon while you're here this morning. Here's what I want us to do. I'm calling a fast for Wednesday. Everybody that will, let's fast. I'm talking about not eating nothing. You say, I can't fast from work. Yeah, you can. I used to think I couldn't preach when I fasted. Listen, I preach with more power and energy when I fast than I do when I'm eating. Eating will make you sluggish.
Yeah. Amen.
Why do you think you want to have a fiesta, a siesta, or whatever it is, a nap after you eat? Makes you sluggish. I'm calling on everybody that will to fast Wednesday. If a man in another state can go a week fasting for our church, what should we be doing? What should we be doing? If people will drive 800 miles and pay a motel bill and eat out and miss work, spend several thousand dollars, what should we be doing? I think we might be taking it for granted a little bit. And I'm sorry, y'all, I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I don't apologize for nothing I said this morning because it's true. It's the truth. It's time for us to get right with God. Jason, don't y'all come. Girls come. I don't know where Crystal is. She's probably back there working with the kids. But get your girls up here this morning and let's sing something. And let's stand this morning. I'm going to ask everybody that will stand.